Okay, boys. So today's daf is daf Yud Tes. We're holding Yud Chesam at Beis, the final three lines at the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah Cholitz v'Cholzin. What is this referring to? If we go back for a moment to the Amud Aleph, you'll remember that we had a Mishnah at the beginning of our new parak about a Kohen Gadol, and it says about the Kohen Gadol that Cholitz v'Cholzin liishtoi. What does that mean? If a Kohen Gadol has a brother that never passed away, leaving no children, so now you have a sister-in-law who unfortunately is now a Zika liyibon, so he can go and perform the cholitz together with her. If the Kohen Gadol passes away and he leaves over a brother, so brother can be cholitz for that wife. So the Mishnah says, what happens if, unfortunately, the Kohen Gadol lost a brother who passed away, and leaving a sister-in-law that had no children? So normally you have a din of Yibam or Chalitza, says our Mishnah, no, the Kohen Gadol cannot be Miyabim her. Why? Because it says, by a Kohen Gadol, he's not allowed to marry an Almana, and she's an Almana. So it's a double parshit. He's ushered to go and be Miyabim. Says the Gemara, not so simple. Back to Yud Chesam and Beis. When we're talking about Yibam and a woman that unfortunately is now a Zokek to Yibam, we didn't distinguish in our Mishnah between whether her husband was just an Orus and she was just an Arusa, which means they never had a fully consummated marriage, or whether in fact there was Nisuin. So you're wondering to yourself, no, what difference does it make? There is a big difference. Mishloim en anisuin havi asei v'loi sesa. V'ein esa doicha loi sesa v'yasei. I understand very well why our Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol cannot go and marry b'miyabim, his sister-in-law. Why? It's true that he has a mitzvah sasei of yavamai yovei oleho. That's the standard mitzvah of Yibam, to go and marry one sister-in-law. However, there's both an asei v'loi sesa that says he cannot go and marry her. What's the asei v'loi sesa? Number one, it says in the pasuk, ki em besula me'am of yikach isha, which tells us besula v'loi be'ula, so that's an asei, it's written in the positive form, besula yikach. And of course, it also says in the pasuk that almana lo yikach, he's not going to go and marry an almana. So, while he does have a mitzvah asei to go and be miyabim, he has an asei and lo yisasa that doesn't allow him to be miyabim. So that I understand. Why by erisin doesn't he have a mitzvah of yibim? Yovei asei, the mitzvah of yavom yovei aleh, v'yidcha lo yisasa, and it should push away that lo yisav of almana lo yikach. But there is no asei of psula yikach v'loi ba'ula, because she isn't a psula. And since she is a psula, why can't the Kohen Gadol go and be miyavim? It's a classic case of an asei, doicha loisasa. Everything more, you're 100% right. But that's only by the bia rishoina. But that will not apply to the bia shnia. Why won't it apply to the bia shnia? Because the bia rishoina, there's in fact, as you say, a mitzvah of yibam. Yavama yavay aleha. And that's going to be doicha the loisasa. However, that's only a one-time thing. As soon as he's miyabimer, he has that first bia, he was already mekayim the mitzvah. The second time that he's going to live with his new wife, he's no longer mekayim the mitzvah for yibam, because he already was mekayim the yibam yavayla. But he will continue to be over the aveira of almana lo yikach. And therefore, says the Gemara, what we would have to do after the bia rishoina is give her a get and say, we were mekayim the mitzvah of yibam, and now sayonara, and go marry whoever you want to. So to Gemara, that would be takim in atoira. Midrabon, we have a gzeira birishoina ought to be a shnia, that since he already lived with her once, he will have the natural desire to live with her a second time, and that second time he's not allowed to, because he's no longer nasei doichalai sesei. Therefore, the chum made a gzeira, don't be miyabim, because of this din, that he might go and live with her a second time, and be oiven aveira. Tanya mihach, we take a variety from a braisa. If the Kohen Gadol didn't ask anyone, and he had not known our Mishnah. Im kodmei uvalai, what happens if the Kohen Gadol went and was miyabim his sister-in-law, who is only a yevama minhu erisin? So be rishoyin akonu. What he did was fine. He made a good kinyan because min ha-Torah, that's what you're supposed to do. And therefore it's now his wife. However, v'osu l'kaimon, not l'kaimon, v'osu l'kaimon, he's not allowed to hold on to her beyond that be rishoyin, because every forthcoming bia thereafter, second time, third time, fourth time, there will no longer be a mitzvah of Yibam, because he was already mekayim that mitzvah, but he'll be over each time, and almanu le'yikach. And therefore, osu l'kaimah b'biyashniyah, what he'll have to do is he'll have to go and give her a get. But that's b'di'evet, because l'chatchila, he's not allowed to go and marry her because of the gzeirah drabanan, gozer b'yirishayna atu b'yashniyah.
If there's offspring from this, are they called chalalim?
Are you talking about from the first or from the second?
Meaning that if he does miyabim and their kids,
and then she becomes pregnant and she has a child. I don't think so, since the Torah is allowing him to do this. If he was doing it in a vacuum, it would certainly be a chol. But since the Torah is mandating based on this mitzvah, I assume not. But it's a good question. If I see anything further, Bli Neder, I will share that with you. But I'm assuming we're okay. And the Mishnah continues on. A Kohen Gadol, as we know, is not allowed to be metame lemeisim, more than just a Kohen, because a regular Kohen, at least he's allowed to be metame to the five immediate kroivim, a spouse, a son, a daughter, father, mother, brother. Here, however, we're talking about a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to even be metame le'oviv uli'imoy lo'yetame. He's not allowed to be metame to anybody. And the Pasuk says, "Min mikdash lo yaitze." So what does it say in the Mishnah? What can a Kohen Gadol do if an immediate Korev passes away? So the Mishnah had a very interesting expression. It said back on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Meis Lo Meis, fourth line of the Mishnah, En Yoytze Achramita, he's not allowed to get close to the actual coffin, to the actual
funeral mitzvah. Procession.
Funeral procession, very good. So he cannot get close. What does he have to do? El Hei Nichsin V'hu Nigla, Hei Niglin V'hu Nichsa. When they are covered up, he can reveal himself. When they are revealed, he has to cover himself up. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that he puts on some sort of
cloak,
masquerade or cloak. But rather, Rashi explains, it means as the funeral procession is going from one street to another, or one mobi to another, as long as you can see those people in the mobi, Kohen Gadol should not be among them. He can be around the corner. When they pass the corner, then he can go back on that street. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, which explains very nicely. It's basically parallel to the beginning of the Mishnah, beginning of the new parak. Hein nichzin b'hu nigleh, kishahein yoytzim b'movi zeh. When they are leaving, that is a funeral procession, leaving one mavoi, v'nichnosin b'movi acher, and they're now entering into a second mavoi, v'nichzin b'movi harishoy, she'en aroya oysan. Now they have gone so far, they've left the mavoi rishoy, and nobody in the Mavi region can see them anymore, because they have, in a sense, turned the corner into the other Mavi. Then he can go out, and then he can start walking in the Mavi Arishai. He's basically far beyond the initial funeral procession, because they are already into the Mavi Sheni. Now, when they are Vehein Nichsen Mi Mavi Asheni, Vehu Nigla Venichlas Latoichai. Once they pass the Movi Sheni, and now they're going into the Movi Shlishi, in other words, again, turning the corner, then he can go into the Movi Sheni. So he should avoid not being together with them in the same Movi. If you were thinking in terms of our streets, if the funeral procession, Chas HaSholem, is still on West End Avenue, he should stay here in the on 91st Street between West End and Broadway. But once they've left West End Avenue, they've gone towards Broadway, then the Kohen Gadol can walk now on Western Avenue. As long as they are physically present, and he sees them, and everybody sees them, then he cannot go and join them. But once they're out of sight, because they've turned the corner, then he can go and follow where they were previously. So that's what it says in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagreed with that, and he says, Eina yoytzim in a mikdash. What are you talking about? He has to stay in the Beis Midrash at all times, because it says in the Pasuk, Umen a mikdash, Lo yaitze, he should not leave the Beis HaMikdash. So he shouldn't go in Nichsen, Niglin, shouldn't go the first Mavi, the second Mavi, should stay in the Beis HaMikdash. So we had a machloikis in our Mishnah, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, Zokti Gemara, Meis Loi Meis. We're back on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, about five lines to the top. Tan Rabban, The Braisa basically repeats what we learned in the Mishnah and the Mikdash, lo yetzei imoyim. The Kohen Gadol cannot join the rest of the funeral procession. But he can go after the procession. How is that? Kate said, hey nichsin, as soon as they are no longer visible, because they are now turning the corner from Mavi Rishon to Mavi Sheni, v'nigla. So then he can go and appear where they were previously. Once, hey niglin, once you can still see them again, v'nichsin, then he has to go and cover up. So he cannot be seen together with the rest of the funeral procession, because we're afraid that might cause him to get closer and closer to the coffin, and Chas V'Shalom become time. Now, in the Mishnah, Reb Yehuda said, no, he shouldn't join the procession at all. Amin the Mikdash lo yetze. Freyti mar shapir kam Reb Yehuda, l'choy Reb Yehuda is right. Amalek Rameyah says to him now rhetorically, Ihochen beisay nami loy, based on what you're telling me, amin the Mikdash lo yetze, that means he has to be there 24-7 for 365 days. Obviously, he's allowed to go home at night, at least once in a while, and it says, amin the Mikdash lo yetze. So what does the Pasuk mean? He's got to be careful not to leave his high status of Kedusha. That's what we're talking about. That being the case, says the Gemara, say the Rabbanim, keeping the Isle Hekeira, once we make a Heker, what's the Heker that we say? You're not allowed to be in the middle of the procession, even though you're far away from the coffin. You happen to be 20 Amos, 50 Amos, 100 feet away. But it has to be with the Heker. What's the Heker? That he should not be seen at the same time together with anybody else. So if they're Hey Niglin, who Nichsa? If they're Hey Nichsin, then who Nigla? So Gemara, Bekimin, the Isle Heker, once you make this Heker and say, make sure you're not in the same picture together with them, they're Mavi Rishon, you stay home. Once you get to Mavi Sheni, then you can go out into the Mavi Rishon. Bekimin, the Isle Heker, we also linga. We don't have to worry about that he'll go and touch the coffin or get even close. For Behuda, Agamarore, since Nebuchadnezzar is so much in sorrow, Nebuchadnezzar is bitter from the great loss of the family member, for instance, the father and mother, I have to be careful that he might in fact get close, even though he's staying far away, but nevertheless, Agamariris, he may want to get a closer picture of what's going on, and he's going to go move slowly but surely, closer and closer, Chas V'Shalom, he might come to be over the din of becoming Tomei L'Meisim. And then the Mishnah said, Kishuv Menachem. When he is Menachem others, he has to go and use the Mishnah talks about a certain formula and how he's supposed to go. So the Gemara now brings the Brayso. Turn around. Kishuv Oiver B'Shura L'Nachem B'Sacherim, Skana Meshuach She'Ovar B'Minoi, Freish Be'sa V'Aveilim V'Cholom Mismoila. What is this all about? We are generally familiar with the concept of a shura. What means a shura? After one buries Rachmon Litzlan a mess, and you have Avelim, you have children, you have Mishpocha that is sitting by Avelus, what the custom today is that all of the Menachmim are the people that are not immediate family, they go and make two rows parallel to one another of people. And what happens, we ask the Avelim to now walk in between these two parallel rows, and then all the people that are the Menachemim talk to the Avelim that are walking down, and each one says, Amoki Menachem Eska B'Sar Shavetzi B'Shulay. That's what we call today Oiv B'Shura. We're going to see in the Gemara shortly that in the times of Chazal, the minig was just the opposite. What do you mean just the opposite? That the Avelim were the ones that stood in place, and it was the Menachemim that would go make a shura, like a single file or double file, a row of people, and they would pass by the Avelim and say to them, Hamoki Menachemes. But initially, our Mishnah and the Brayse are talking about, once again, that it's the Avelim standing in place, and not that the
So what Menachem. Caused this 180-degree turn?
We'll see, it's a very good question. The Gemara is going to address your question in about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Tanurban, Kishu Oiver Bishura, Lenachem Esachedim. If he, the Kohen Gadol, is joining with the folk, passing by Bishura to Menachem the Achedim, those that are Nebuch, who are the Avelim, what does he do? He doesn't go together with everybody, because after all, it's the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, you have the Skan, Umashuach Sheovar Biminoi, The skan means his assistant. Meshuach she'over means any time a kohen gadol was not able to go and do the service on Yom Kippur, because for instance he became a bal keri overnight, what happens is that there's always a kohen gadol in waiting. He's not a kohen gadol yet, but he's the kohen gadol for a day, so to speak. If and when necessary, he will go and perform the service on behalf of the kohen gadol. Once that happens, even if it's just for a day, he gets the status of a kohen gadol, that he, all of the limitations and restrictions that apply to kohen gadol will apply to him, and he will be called the Meshuach She'avar. The only difference between him and the other kohen gadol is that he's not going to be able to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash unless and until the regular kohen gadol again has a situation. But as long as the kohen gadol is fit, qualified, eligible to do the kahuna gedoyla, then the kohen Meshuach She'avar does nothing, but he retains the title of a kohen gadol. But it's not just a title, an honorific title. He's not going to be metam lemesim, including to his parents. He's not going to marry an almana. He has a full status of the kohen gadol. Good. So what happens now? The Mr. Smith passed away. Nebuchadnezzar's children are now standing there in place, waiting for the oilam to pass by. So now everybody passes by, including the kohen gadol. But he doesn't pass by together with the rest of the nation, but rather he goes single file in between the skan, that's his assistant, and the Meshuach She'avar, who are biminoi, on his right. And on his left you have the Rosh Beis Av, that means the head of the Sanhedrin. No, I'm sorry. Rosh Beis Av means the kohen who is officiating that day. Remember that there are 24 mishmaris of kahuna, and each mishmar is broken down into either 6 or 7 bate av, which means, let's, for example, if in a particular week you have 70 kehanim of a mishmar, and assuming that we are breaking it up into 7 bate av, it's a machloikis whether Shabbos it was a separate base av or not, because Shabbos there were virtually no karbanos, just the tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben aboyim, and the karban musaf. So it was a machloikis when they had a separate base av. But regardless, assuming that there was a separate base av, you have now 70 kahanim in that entire mishmar. Sunday has 10, Monday has 10, Tuesday has 10. So 7 times 10, you have 70. There was one who was memuna on top of each Beis Av each day. So the Rosh Beis Av of that day, the Avelim and the Avelim, the Cholo Om and everybody else, were mismoyla, were to his left. So therefore the Kohen Gadol is going single file down the middle, with two people on his right, the Skan Meshuach She'avar, and everybody else on his left.
I thought they were changing the guard on Shabbos, and that's why they left a tip for the one.
For sure, what you're saying is correct.
So what were you explaining?
But it's a change in the guard from Mishmar 1 to Mishmar 2,
right.
Not Beis Av to Beis Av.
Oh, I see, okay.
So the Mishmar for that entire week ended on Shabbos, yeah. The new Mishmar that starts the new week starts on Shabbos, and that was a change in the guard. But it could be that there was no particular demarcation about the Av, because really no work to do. What's the work? You have to do the 3 kabbalas, the Tomei Shul Shachar, the Musa, and Tomei Shul Bein Abayim. So that's not considered to be, you know, major, major work. So therefore they didn't go and split it up into a separate Beis Av. But it's a machlok, it's on the whole day. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so you have, that's where the Kohen Gadol is Oiver. Now when I'm Gishu, Oimei Beshura, Oimei Beshura means that he's standing Beshura because he is the Ovel. And now he's receiving tanchumen, consolation from the others. Then skan miminoi v'roish beis av v'cholo'om mismoile. What happens, the skan is to his right, and the roish beis av and the cholo'om is to his left. So it's similar to the previous Gemara, but note that we left out Meshuach She'avar. And Meshuach She'avar le'asi gabei. He doesn't participate in the shura in passing by. What's the reason why? My taima, chol she'daite. Because the Kohen Gadol says to himself, that the Meshuach She'avar says to himself, oh, my competition is now weakened by the fact that the Kohen Gadol is now Ba'avelus, maybe he'll become Tomei or so, and then I'll be able to think over again. There's a tremendous competition here between the regular Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol She'avar. He feels bad. You know, when I cannot do it, then that fellow takes over my position. There should be a kind of a moratorium.
You should be happy for him.
Who should be happy for?
The calling, the one that's no longer able to, you know, it's just not...
The regular Kohen Gadol should be happy that there's a replacement to take over for his day or two.
Yeah. I
mean, that's correct. However, the Kohen Gadol is upset that there is a replacement out there who has the same title and status as he himself. He considers that to be a competition. Because Kohen Gadol, normally there's only one Kohen Gadol in Klal Yisrael. And guess what? Because he became Tomei 20 years ago on a particular Yom Kippur, ever since then, somebody else is also called Kohen Gadol. So he feels bad that there's a second person with that same title. It's only natural. And therefore, says Gemara, when this Kohen Gadol is now an Ovel Rachmon Litzlan, if the Kohen Mashiach Sha'over passes by, he, the Kohen Gadol, will feel a little bit bad because he says to himself, "Why, my competitor, my competition, may be smiling internally about my predicament," and therefore he might feel a little bit bad. Amra Papa, Shema Minu Mihamas Nisa. From this brisa, we learn three things. Class, what are the three things? Shema Minu, Hainu Sagan, Hainu Mamuna. That the word Sagan, which is used in this brisa, is the same as the word Mamuna, which is used in our Mishnah. Because here the brisa says, Kishu Oiver, then the Sagan is Biminoi. And if you went back to the Mishnah of yesterday, there it says, when the Kishu Menachem Achirim, Derech Kala'am, Oivim Bezeachazeh, Vaha Mamuna, Mimatsoi Beinoi Leveinoam. It was the Mamuna that made these three rows of people. The Mamuna went, and the Sagan went, or Miminoi, the Kohen Gadol down the middle, and everybody else to the left. So the fact that our Braisa uses the term Sagan, and the Mishnah uses the term Mamuna, shows you Sagan and Mamuna are synonymous terms. Ushma Mino, Avelim Oimdim, V'cholo'om Oivrim. That the minig was, as we discussed earlier, that the Avelim stand in place, and they are making the Shura by just standing in one place, and everybody else passes by. Not like our minhag today. Ushmamina, and I also see from this that Avelim Lismail Hamanachmim Hein Oimdim, that the Avelim are to the left and the Menachmim pass by on their right, as opposed to the other way around, the Avelim being on the right and Menachmim being passing by on the left. That I see from the Brisa. So now let's get back to Ariel's question, and that is, why did they change the minig? Initially, the Avelim stood in place, and the Oilim passed by. And there were two families in Yerushalayim, Mizgores Zu Bezu, that were, had a competition between themselves. Zoyis Emeres Ani Oiveres Tchila, I want to pass through first. Zoyis Emeres Ani Oiveres Tchila. After all, the Ovel Nebuch who passed away is very close to us. We feel so bad for him. We want to be the first ones to pass by on the Shura. And as a result, it was a dispute. Now, you and I may look upon this as being kind of strange.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, this is a Maisa Shahaya, that there was this competition, that they had an internal fight between one and the other. It could be that they were two cousins, and one cousin says, I'm much better than you are, cousin. Because whenever there's a problem in that family, I go and the first one to help out, and I've supported them over the years, and we send them shlachmunas on a regular basis to go and help out the financial situation. And the other one says, you don't do even half what we do for them. Do you know that we were the one that made all the shidduchim, and we paid for the chasen expenses? So now when this family, Nebuch, is Bavelis, we should go first to go and show how much we feel for them and that we're with them and we shouldered their burden and their pain. So each one wants to go first and they say, you know, it's too much of a burden for us to worry about these potential machlokes. Have now the two shurais, let each mishpacha stand at the front of that shura and let the avelim go through in between the two and therefore you won't have this competition. I want to be first. Because you have the two shuras on the right and on the left. So that answers your question. You may not be happy, but the Maisa, that's the reason why they changed it. But as we'll see in the Gemara, it's lav dafka that you have to do it that way. Even today, if you wanted to, you can go back to the original custom. Nobody does, but you could if you wanted to. It's not that it's in cement, like you'll see in the Gemara momentarily. Omer Rami Bar Abba, you see first the mnemonically simen, chozer v'holach v'siper. The reason why the Gemara brings that siman is we'll see that Rabbi Yossi, who was the Rav in Tzipori, the Gemara says, Hacha Rabbi Yossi ben Tzipori, that what he talked about three separate halachas, one was about Chazar, one about Halach, and one about Tzipor. Omer Rami Bar Abba.
Yeah, I was like Rabbi Yossi in the Shuk Shel Tzipori.
Okay, where do you think the Shuk Shel Tzipori was?
In the Tzipori, in that was the expression that he used.
Is this Rabbi Yossi the Galilean?
Rabbi Yossi the Galilean.
No, it's Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. It's not Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bar Chalafta. Rabbi Yossi Galili was older. He was older than Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta.
What Barry is saying is correct. But was Sipori in the Galil?
Yes.
Okay, so in that sense, he wasn't Rabbi Yossi Haglili, but he was, in English, Rabbi Yossi the Galilean.
Of the Galilean. I'm correct.
Okay.
Point of clarification.
Okay, so let's continue on. Omer Rabbi Baraba, Hechzer Rabbi Yossi Satov Liyoshnoi Betzipoini. What means Hechzer Dov Liyoshnoi? That means he returned things back to their origins originally. Shiyuavelim Oimdin Lechalom Oivrim. He changed it and he said, let's go back to the original custom. They saw the area was quite distressed that they changed it in the first place. And they said, you know what? Let's go back to the original one. Avelim will stand in place and everybody will pass by Yeshua. That's not the final word about this, but this is what Rabbi Yossi did, and this is the Chozar, the first of the Siman. The Yomar Rami Baraba, Hiskin Rabbi Yossi B'tzipoyri, Shulaytai Isham Halechas B'shuk U'beno Achareha. And this is the Holach, that if a lady is going with her son in the street, the son should go in front, and the son should not go in back. And you're wondering, why not? Wusazvig Yefelech? Oh, you tell you, a Masa Noira, a terrible, terrible incident. Mishu Masa Shohaya. What was the Masa Shoya? It is so terrible that the Gemara doesn't even want to tell us what the details were. But what were the details? Since I don't want to tell it either, so I'm just going to repeat the Rashi. Rashi smack in the middle of the Amud. See, Mishem Masa Shoya, halfway down these narrow lines. Zok Rashi, you have that? Mishem Masa Shoya?
Yep.
Zok Rashi. She gunvuhu peritza miacharea. She was walking. The son was walking behind her. Figuring everything is going to be fine and great, and unfortunately some pritzim are bad guys, shkutzim, went and took the child away. And they put him into a house. And then after a minute, or 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, she turns around, Yankala, where are you? And she didn't see him. She started screaming, where's Yankala? And she started crying. One of these pritzim, one of these shkutzim came, as if he was a good Samaritan, he's going to help out the situation. The Omar, Boi Berenu, come with me, I'll show you where Yankel is. Oh, thank you, you're such a wonderful guy, such a Boy Scout. Ah, I love you. Verena, Loch, and I will show you to him. The Nichlasa Akrab, and he took her into the house where the baby was, where the child was. The Inu Oysan, unfortunately, they were Mizana, they went and violated her. So because of that, says Rabbi Yossi, women, leave the child in front of you and not in back of you. His this is number three. That when you have two women together in a basic kise, that they should be talking to one another, because just in case a man comes by, he should know that there are women there, and therefore he shouldn't enter in the basic kise, because if he's going to be there for any period of time, you're going to have yichud problems. And Rashi quickly points out, we're not talking about modern day bathrooms that have marble and have such smelling spices that they smell the best room in the entire
also
house.
They have separate bathrooms for different...
Well, that, most homes do not. In the airport they have, and shuls they have, but not in the... At most homes, you don't have separate gender. You'll mention when you get married, you'll find out. Anyway, but the Rashi says over here, we're talking about the Ubeis Kisei Shebesodois Kamayi. We're talking about outhouses in the middle of the ear.
Right.
Ubeis Kisei Shalehem Besodah Chutz La'ir. V'hakol Nifnim Shem. And everybody used the same bathrooms, the men and the women. They would travel on the roads. A person has to go to the bathroom. They would look for the signs. Oh, there's an outhouse. And they would all go and use that same outhouse. If there are women there, we don't want a potential problem of Yichud, because there's nobody else except the few travelers that might be using the bathroom. So that was number three. That was the Siper Sim. Says Rabbi Nashi. We're going to get to that another moment.
Okay.
I asked as Rabbi Yashia Rabba the Beis Almin de Hutzel. Beis Almin means the cemetery of Hutzel. The Omer Li, and he told me in that Beis Almin, number one, ain't sure b'chus me'asar b'nei adam, that it should really be b'kovedik. You should have 10 people. It's not a question of a minion. The din of a minion is because Kodesh Baruch Hu says you can't say a Dovah Shebekdusha unless you have a minion. Here we're talking about the cover that you're trying to give the Aveilim. It's not a cover unless you have a minimum of 10 people. Doesn't mean you cannot do it with 8 or with 6. But it's not a real shura unless you have 10. Vein Aveilim in a minion. And do not include the Aveilim as part of the minion. However, Vein Shaveilim Oimdin V'chola Om Oivrim. Vein Shaveilim Oivrim V'chola Om Oimdin. Bottom line is it really doesn't make a difference whether you go according to the original custom or the new custom. You can go according to the original one that the Aveilim are standing, and it's the shura of the Om that is passing by, or that the Aveilim are Oivrim V'chola Om Oimdin, or the people are standing in two rows, and it's the Aveilim that go in between, like the custom that we have today. Since in more bottom line, it doesn't really make a difference. The Yaivitz, the Tabyank of Emden, the back of the Gemara says, why does the Gemara have to point out that he asked this question in the Beis Alman in the cemetery? Because l'halacha, you're not supposed to learn in a cemetery because you don't want to shame the Aveilim that are there that they cannot go and learn. So it looks like the Gemara calls that loyig l'rosh. Loyig l'rosh means that nebuch, they cannot be mekayim mitzvahs if I'm going to go and start learning. And that's why the minhag is that you put your...
it in their face?
Exactly, exactly. And that's why there's a minhag that those that have their tzitzis out, they put their tzitzis in, and so on and so forth, not to go and shame the Aveilim. Thank you. So, therefore, if you're not supposed to talk at Dvar Halacha, why did he ask him these halachas? So, if Yankim Emden, our Gemara is trying to tell you that, like all rules, it's an exception to the rule. And the exception to the rule is those halachas that pertain to a Beis HaChaim. If you happen to be Beis HaChaim and you're wondering, how do you do the Kvura? When do you say the Kaddish? When do you do this? What's this custom? If you're going to go and say, I'll tell you after we leave the Beis HaChaim, we won't know what to do when we're there. So therefore, we're there. We're about to make a Shura. So we're asking the Rav. In this case, we're asking Reb Yoshi Rabba. What do we do now? How many people do you need for Shura? People should not leave. We need a million. We need 10 people. Number two, should the Aveilim stand like this? Should they stand like that? Do they pass by? Do they stand? Makes a difference. Whatever you want, both of them work just fine. Any questions you have?
We said here that Vehisar Rav Yossi as a Devar the Yishtiyotum Sikore, where he Shayu Aveilim Omdi Kol Am Ovrim.
Right.
Isn't that the way we reversed this? Isn't that...
That was the original custom.
That was the original that...
That the Aveilim stood in place, and it's the Om that passed by. Why did it change, like Ariel asked? It changed because there were two mishpachas that were fighting one another. And so therefore they said, you know what, instead of having the Aveilim stand in one place, but the original practice of Aveilim, that's what he was machzer, totally yoshin, tzipoyri, Aveilim should stand and everybody should pass by. Okay, so tomorrow gets weiter. Kishu misnachem means that when the is passing by and they want to menachem ovel, so our Mishnah said they don't say like we are used to Hamoki Menachem Eschem. Since we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, they went and said that we should be a kapara instead of you. As you know, there's a minhag, which is also what Nigmar Moed Katan, that for the first year, a son that is referring the Moshel to his father, who passed away within that year, he doesn't say about his father, Zechron Lebracha, or Olav Shalom, but he says, Hareini Kaporas Mishkovai. Hareini Kaporas Mishkovai means that I should atone for my father. That just in case Chas V'Shalom upstairs in Shemayim, they have Tanis on my father for X, Y, and Z, that one day he spoke during Kaddish, or one day he missed a daf, or whatever. So I want to be a Kapora for him, that the mitzvahs that I'm doing now should act as an atonement for my father. So that's the custom that many have to say, Hareini Kaporas Mishkovai. So our Mishnah said that when the Kohen Gadol is standing in place and the people are passing by, that instead of saying Hamokim Menachem, they would go and say, Onu Kaparoscha, we will atone for you or for the Nifter, we'll take your place. We're going to shoulder your burden in terms of bringing a Kapara for the Neshama of that person that passed away. Okay, so that's a very nice thing to say. Now, Iboyelahu Ki Menachem Hu Achrini Hechi, Hechi Omar Luhu. What happens if it's the other way around? If the Kohen Gadol is now being Menachem others, what should he say? Toshima. So we have in the Braisa, V'u'oymer tisnachma. The Kohen Gadol says, you should all have a nechama. You should be consoled. The question is, when are we talking about? Hey, Chidami. Ilei miki menachmi achrini. L'diday, are we talking about that the Kohen Gadol, he's the one that's sitting ba'avelus, and the others are passing by, and after they're finished and they're ready to leave, he says to them, Tisnachamu, or Tisnachamu, you should be consoled. Says the Gemara, are you talking about Kimenachmi Achrina L'diday, others are coming to Menachem Ovel, Omalahu, so he responds to them, Ihu, he says to them, Tisnachamu, you should be consoled. Nachsha Karami Luhu. The word Nachsha over here means it's as if Chas v'Shalom, he's cursing them. Meaning, they're coming to do him a toilet. And they're saying, you should be consoled, Nebuchadnezzar, your loss, and Hashem should help you, and you should be able to withstand your loss. So he says today, and you too, you Menachem Hashem should go and console your loss. What loss did they have? Baruch Hashem, they're fine, everything is great. Is he Chas v'Shalom predicting they will have a loss and they should be consoled? That doesn't sound right. That's what we mean. That the Kohen Gadol comes and he visits someone who's sitting lavelis, he should say tisnachemu, like the equivalent of the Moki Menachem Eschem that we say today, you should be consoled because of your loss, Shema Bina. So we see that that's in fact the response, not the response, that's what the Kohen Gadol says when he's being Menachem others, he says tisnachemu. Right, Melech Loidon. Okay, until now we spoke about a Kohen Gadol, and then the Mishnah changed gears and says, let's now talk, change channels, let's now talk about a melech in Klai. So what's his din, says the Mishnah, Loidon, for Loidon in Oisai. He cannot be a member of the Sanhedrin, nor can he go and be a Nidon. In other words, we do not bring him to court.
Like an executive, what's it called in... Executive, like the president can't be...
executive powers and separation of powers?
No, but meaning that the president cannot be brought up on... Immunity.
Executive immunity.
Yeah.
So, l'havdil, that's what we're talking about, that the king has also executive immunity, that lo'idon oisai.
The principle, would you think? There we go.
Let's talk about it. You like to pick and choose who would...
Omer of Yosef, Lo Yishol Malchi Yisrael. That the Mishnah says that you cannot go and be done that individual for any infractions that he may have, any violations of law. You don't want Malchi Yisrael. A Malchi Beis David, Don V'Don and Oisan. Really? Why?
Wow.
Because I have a pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk? Beis David, talking about David HaMelech's Mishpoch and his progeny. Koyamar Hashem, Dinu LaBoiker Mishpat. If anybody goes and does something wrong, then in the morning we're going to bring him into Beis Din. He, just like anybody else, you're going to prosecute him. Zukti Mora, the Eloi Daininale, Inu Heichi Daini. What the Gemara is saying is, okay, that tells you, Dina Leboiker Mishpat, that we are done him. Well, how do we know about being done others? In other words, the Mishnah tells us both. Loi Dan, we are not done him. He cannot be the subject of the proceedings. Loi Dan, forget. Loi Dan, he cannot be a Dain. And he cannot be the person who is being the nidon. In other words, you don't bring him into court. A plaintiff cannot bring him into court and say, you owe me money, or you did a violation of Hilchos Shabbos, or you violated something else and you should get malchus. So, loidon, he cannot be a member of the bezin, loidon oisai, and he cannot be a person who is the nidon in this court proceeding. So says the Gemara, since it says the pasuk, din laboikin mishpat, that means that he is a person that we're going to go and be dan. V'iloi dainin alei inu heichi daini. What the Gemara means to say is, although the pasuk is only talking about one side of this double-sided coin, however, one is dependent on the other. If we cannot be dan him, inu heichi daini, then how could he be a dain for others? V'haksiv, don't we have a pasuk? He's koishishu v'koishu. The Amri Shlokish interprets that pasuk, that if you want to go and be done other people, to make sure that you are pure in this matter. What's the English expression? People that live
in glass houses
should not go and throw stones. By the way, the dinner tonight is in the glass house. The dinner of the Shiltan. Anyway, but regardless, if you want to go and be done others in Bezin, if you want to be a dayan for others, how can you be done somebody else for being Mechal Shabbos if you yourself are Mechal Shabbos? Or for eating Chazer if you yourself eat Chazer? So you have to be first in the regular English, they would say adorn yourself, and then you can try to adorn others. So here too, it has to work both ways. If you're talking about the Beis David, don the don and oisan, that both they can be don others, and then they can be the nidoin as well. My mashkiach Rav Volbe zecher levracha in yeshiva, he wrote the Sefer Ali Shor, whose name was Rav Shlomo Volbe Zatzal. He said it's another way of interpreting the word kshoit. We say kshoit numerous times in Brich Shemei. But normally kshoit for like a tachshit, right, that you adorn yourself. But he says there's another pshat, and that is we say in Brich Shemei, Teraisi kshoit, Revioi kshoit. What does that kshoit mean? Truth, emes. So he said, and this is a word of truth, that if you want to try to convince somebody else of the truth of your statement, it has to be true to you. Because if you yourself are fumfing, I'm not really 100% sure, but I think the answer is, you're never going to be able to convince anyone, because you yourself are not sure. So it has to be with total truth and surety, you're certain that this is the truth, then you can try to convince somebody else of the truth. But if you yourself are not sure, you'll never be able to convince anybody else that that's the case. Anyway, so what have we done? We have distinguished between Malchi Beis David, Don and the Don Oysan, and the Malchi Yisrael that were not Don Oysan. Pray tomorrow, Malchi Yisrael, my time will go. What's the reason? After all, the Malchi Yisrael, if you will, is only a derivative of the Malchi Beis David, the real Malchi Beis David. So if the din is by them, Don the Don Oysan, wouldn't you think the same thing should apply to the Malchi Yisrael?
Well, they say Malchi Yisrael, we're talking still in, we're not talking about the separate northern kingdom.
Yes, we are.
Oh, we are.
Exactly what we're talking about.
They were outside.
The ones that started with Yerovam and all of those that followed after.
They followed Avodah Zarah,
but they were Shemri Shabbos, they ate kosher, otherwise, but in terms of the Melucha, It was not ideal, but it wasn't ideal.
I thought maybe they were referring to, like at the Ashkenazim, you had times where it wasn't Malchus.
Okay, so you'll see. So tomorrow, Malchus, so my time, what's the reason? Why is a Master Shoyet? No, Chumla Master Shoyet. What was the Master Shoyet? The Avde Diane Malka Kotel Nafsha. There was an Evid of Yane Hamelech who was a bad guy, and never he killed someone. Oy. Amlu Shimon Ben Chetach. Shimon Ben Chetach was the Rish Bezin in the Sanhedrin, and he said to the Chachamim, just like anybody else that has to be prosecuted for crime, schlep him in Bezin, let's go and prosecute him. Shol chulei. So they went and sent a message to Yanai HaMelech, who was presumably protecting his slave, and they said to him, Avdech HaKotel Navsha, Shadri Lahu, send him into Bezin, because rumors have it, Edim are saying that he went and killed someone. Send him in. Mm-hmm. So, shol chulei. So, Yanai HaMelech listened to the Bezin, and he sent him in. To Ant Nami Lahacha, we want you, Yanai HaMelech, to also be present in person.
Oh, boy.
Why? Because it says, V'huad biv'olav amretayra. Yavi balashar v'yamad al shayray. Okay, this is not a shar, but it's at least similar to a shar, that this Eved is a chattel, if you will, of Yanai HaMelech, so that Yanai HaMelech stand there together, not with his cattle, but with his chattel. Also, the Yoy, Dani Yanai HaMelech listened and he came in. Omle Shimon ben Chetach, Yanai HaMelech, Amoy Dag Raglech of Yidu Becho. I don't want you to sit down, Osav Yosef. I want you to stand up now during the proceedings. Why? Because don't think that you're sitting here or standing here in front of 23 judges. You're standing in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom, Shenema. The Omnishne Anasha Shalema Riv, the Gemara leaves out the Goymer, Lifnei Hashem. Anytime that you're having a dispute in front of Bezin, you're not standing just in front of the rabbis. Mm-hmm. You're standing in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So you better stand up. Yanai HaMelech said, Ad Kan Oim B'Shabbos Agud. They summoned my Eved, I sent the Eved. They summoned me, I came in. But now that I have to stand the whole proceedings, that's just showing a bit of Sufia.
Said he couldn't stand it.
He couldn't stand it. And therefore, the question is, can we withstand the pressure? Omalai. So he said to him, to Shimon Ben Chetach, now, all of you are thinking, especially Barry, that Shimon Ben Chetach and Yanai HaMelech were brothers-in-law. So he's stating the Gemara in Masechtas Brachos, because Shimon ben Chetach, Reb Shimon ben Chetach, was the brother of Mrs. Yanai, of the queen. Anyway, it says in there, in the Gemara there, and also Gemara in Kiddushin, that Yanai HaMelech one time got very, very angry at the Chachmi Yisrael, because they suggested that he was not ro'oi to be the Melech, and as a result, he slaughtered all of them. The only one that was left was Reb Shimon ben Shetach, and the reason is because his wife, the queen, protected her brother and said, Shimon ben Shetach, today there's going to be a slaughter, stay away, and he hid in the closet somewhere, and Baruch Hashem, he was saved. Anyway, so they were brothers-in-law. It's Omaloi, like you should tell Ata, I'm not going to listen to you that I have to stand the whole time. It's disrespectful. I'm the king. Let's see what the Chaverim say. Meaning the other members of the Bet. They saw that Yanei HaMelech was pretty heated, and after all, he was the Melech. All of a sudden, Nifna Liyaminai, Kavsha B'nei Bekarka, Nifna Lismoilai, Kavsha B'nei Bekarka. Shimon ben Shetach looked to the right of all the Dayanim, and he looked to the left, and all of a sudden they're all falling, Koyin Mishtachlim, as if they're saying Tachlim, and it's taking them a half an hour to finish the Tachlim with their heads down below. In other words, they didn't want to pick their heads up to act as if they weren't here. It's like you go on the subway today, an elderly person walks down, or a pregnant lady, all of a sudden everybody's asleep, or they're looking
right,
down, nobody knows.
They don't
want
to give the seat.
Exactly right. Here they didn't want to express an opinion about whether Yanei HaMelech should stand or not stand, so they acted all as if, you know, they're not present. Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach was not happy. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, Bali Machshava Satan. You all have your heads down because you're all thinking and entranced and dealing with the very deep matters, and that's why you're not picking your heads up. Yovei Bal Machshavas Yifra Mikem. Who's the Bal Machshavas? Is Rashi? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go and pay you guys off and punish you for not standing up for me and not requiring Yanei HaMelech to stand. Anyway, Shimon ben Shetach's statement had very, very potent force. But Gavriel being Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malach, came v'chovtim bekarka. He pushed down their heads all the way taka to bekarka. From Meisu Nebuch, they passed away.
Another group.
So what happens? Ba'isasho Amru. From that point, they said, you know what? We only got into all of this trouble. It all Nebuch, all of these dayanim passed away because the Melech was present and the Melech was busy here. You know what? Melech leidon v'leidon oisai loy meid v'leidon oisai. He is exempt. He has executive immunity. Just stay out of here, king, and don't get involved.
Now it's proven.
Exactly. Good. And the Mark continues on. That's what the Tanakhama said, that the Melech should not perform chalitza, and if he passed away, then his brother should not go and perform chalitza vis-a-vis his wife, the king's wife, the Almana. That is what Rabbi Yehuda said. That is what the Tanakhama said. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagreed, and he says if he wants to, he can be choylet, and one can be choylet liyishtar. Now, what is the issue over here? What's the problem? So, we're going to see in a moment what the issue is. Rashi brings on the third line, lechotzen liyishtoi, neish asura linosei. Our Mishnah tells us that when a king passes away and he leaves a wife, nobody's allowed to go and marry her, since she is the former queen, the Mrs. King. Anybody else goes and marries her, that's a p'chisis ha-kovid, both to her and to her former husband, to her late husband, to the king. So, asur linasei. There's also going to be a discussion about his possessions. Can anybody now use his possessions? Of course, today, they would auction it off and try to go and get $10 million because these are possessions that belong to the king. But really, one's not supposed to use his possessions except for a future king can use the possessions of the old king.
Does she become the queen mother?
Very good question. She can only become the queen mother if she has children. Since we're talking about Yibam Chalitza, she's never going to be a queen mother at this point. Anyway, continuing on, Rashi says on the third line, Chalitza Gnai Hu Loi, Hiloi, Lovi Lebezin Utehi Rekekis Lefonav. If you have a melech, and the melech has to perform Nebe Chalitza, why is he performing Chalitza? Because of his sister-in-law, his brother passed away. So now, he's not allowed to go and be Miyabim her, because she's an almana, and a king, just like the Kohen Gadol, can't go and be Miyabim. But now the question is, what about performing Chalitza? Chalitza is a gnai for the king, because Teirik Hekes Lefonov, she's going to go and spit out in front of him. And Yibim is gnai huloi, lokem al shem ochet. For him to go and be Miyabim is also, I said before, because Israel Mana, I'm sorry, it's not because Israel Mana, that only applies to Kohen Gadol, but it's a gnai that he should go and be Miyabim, his sister-in-law, because it says in the Pasuk, which means that the Yavam is now taking the place of his late brother, and the king says, I am a king. My brother was just a commoner. That I should now be called, that I'm wearing the hat of the commoner, that I'm taking over his place, it's disrespectful to the kingship. So therefore, that's why the Tanakhama says, etc. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Why did Rabbi Yehuda disagree? The Mishnah, Rashi, the way he explained the Tanakhama is right. It's a gnai. It's a gnai to exercise chalitza. It's a gnai to do yibam. Why does Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah disagree? How can Rabbi Yehuda say that? And Nasi that is moichel on his covered, mochel. Melech shemochel kvoidi ain't kvoidi mochel. Shneim asayim tosam alecha melech shetehei emosay alecha. So ibazoi, if a melech is not allowed to be moichel on his covered, and even if he's moichel, we immediately have to say, no, you're covered, your mechila does not work. Mm-hmm. You have to maintain the standards of the king. So why would Rabbi Yehuda disagree? And for the Gemara, Avadi he agrees, but mitzvah shani, here's being mekayim a mitzvah. He's participating either in a yibum or in a chalitza. For that, he's allowed to go and do a downgrade of himself temporarily, even though it's a gnai, it's a rekika by chalitza, and similar by yibum, yokum Hashem achum ameit. A mitzvah, says Rabbi Yehuda, and that's paramount, and that trumps the possible gnai to the malchus. So now we have in the Mishnah that the Yehuda was talking about going and marrying the former queen of the king. So what did it say in the Mishnah? We had a machloket between the Tanakhama and the Yehuda. Getting back to the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, yesterday's Mishnah. Amr loy ve'ein noisen al menasai. You cannot go and marry the almana of the king. No. A melech is allowed to marry an almana of the prior king, right? The old king never passed away, mm-hmm. Left over an almana. Nobody in Klal Yisrael can marry her, with the exception, says Rabbi Yehuda, of the new king. The new king that is appointed. Uh-huh. Obviously, we're not talking about that the king is the son of the old king, because this would be his mother or his stepmother. That would be prohibited. We're talking about another king that was not related. He's allowed to go and marry. And in fact, I find a rai from the Pasuk. It says that David HaMelech married the Almana of Shaul. Where does it say that? It says in the Pasuk, "Ve'et lecho es beis adonecha." The Novi says, "You, David HaMelech, will take over the bais, the palace of the Adon, meaning of Shaul. V'es neshei adonecha b'chekecha, and you can go and take over the wives of Shaul."
Wow.
So lechoyra, that's directly what Rabbi Yehuda said, that David HaMelech is allowed to marry the Almana of Shaul HaMelech.
Isn't he married to the daughter of Shaul HaMelech?
Also,
Harry, I love it. That's the next gemara. Zokti Maritanya Omrul, they said to Yehuda, you are misinterpreting the Pasuk. When it says in the Pasuk that he married the Nishay, the Beis HaMelech, what was the Lashon HaPasuk? Bes Nishay Adonecha, he didn't mean the wives of Shaul, he meant the women of Shaul's household. Who were those women? The daughters. Tanya Omrul, Yehuda said, the Chacham to Yehuda, you're mistaken, Yehuda. What we mean in the pasuk about Nishay Adonecha, not the wives, but Nashim Ru'uyas Loi Mibeis HaMelech. It means the daughters that are Roiloi, it means they're not Almanois, that he's allowed to go and marry. Who are those? Ma'ininu, Meirav and Michal. Meirav and Michal were both daughters of Shaul HaMelech, and our Gemara is telling us that the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yehuda, David HaMelech married both of them. And what's going to be your follow-up question?
How could you marry two sisters?
Beautiful. Shalom Talmida Ves Rabbi Yossi, the same Rabbi Yossi in Tzipori, who lived in the Galilee, but was not Rabbi Yossi HaGalili.
Right.
What did they ask him? Hey, Chnosa David, Shtei Achoyes Bechayei. And how is he able to go marry two sisters? Unbelievable.
Well, one was Merav, one was Mizrav, and one was his...
Okay. Anyway, the Pasuk says, Ve'isha L'choysa L'sikach, Litzra L'galis, when the two sisters are alive, you're now going to go and marry those two sisters. And therefore, how is he able to marry both Merav and Michal? So we're going to have an extended discussion about that from here till about three quarters down the Amid. Amal answer, Rabbi Yossi gave teretz number one. Michal acher misas Merav nasa. He never lived with both of them simultaneously or concurrently. He only married Michal after Merav had already passed on. You knew that. Oh, no. Shali, you know Baruch Hashem so much. So there was no problem. After Merav passed away, after the Shiva, after the Shloishim, he remarried Michal, the sister. Okay. Reb Shimon Korcha Oimer, no. Kedushay Tois Hoyu Loi B'Merav. Merav was never really married to David HaMelech because it was a Kedushay Tois. We don't mean Tois that there was a mistake. It means that the Kedushin was not Chal. What is this all about? Shinema. Says in the Pasuk, Tano Es Ishti Es Michal Asher Rasti Li B'Meya Olois Plishtim. David HaMelech said to Shaul, I want to go and marry now my wife, Michal. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, the reason why David HaMelech was pleading, I want Michal, because unfortunately Shaul reneged on his promise to give Michal to David HaMelech, and instead steered her to Paltiel or Palti ben Laish. And he got very angry and he says, I want to go and have Michal, and you promised me that if I went and caught and cut Meya Orlis Plishtim, that means I killed 100 Plishtim, that you're going to go and hand me over Michal as my wife. And you didn't do that. Anyway, that's the Pasuk. We're taking it out of context. We're going to focus on it in the Gemara.
Were the two daughters from the same wife?
Does it make a difference?
Yeah.
Why?
Because then they're not... sisters,
for purposes of the Isser of a man marrying two sisters, it makes no difference whether the same mother or just the same father. Mm-hmm. Anyway, continuing on, my Talmud, so we're trying to prove that his marriage to Meirav is Kedusha Tois. I didn't see Meirav's name in this pasuk, I only see Michal. So, Frank Timar, my Talmud, what is the limud that you're saying from this pasuk? Amra Papa, the fact that he said, Es Ishti, Es Michal, what he was insisting is, Michal Ishti, Veloi Meirav Ishti. Michal is my wife, Meirav is not my wife. Why? Because it was a Kedushi Tois. Frey Timara, my Kedushi Tois, what Kedushi Tois are we talking about? Tachsiv. And going back into Tanakh, it's talking about that Goliath, known in English as Goliath, he was a threat to Klal Yisrael. And Shaul HaMelech, who himself apparently was scared of him, said, V'hoyu ha'isha she'yakenu, if anybody is willing to go and stand up to Goliath and go and hit him, in other words, defeat him, Yashrenu HaMelech Oysher Godol, the Melech is going to give him tremendous Ashirus, and the Pasuk continues on, and I'm also going to give you my daughter. For those of you that have number 3 or Gimel in the middle of the Pasuk, you can start from the beginning of the Pasuk. V'yayim Ish Yisrael, Ha'isem Ho'ish Ho'oyla Hazeh, Ki Lachorif Es Yisrael Oyla, we're talking about Goliath, and he's coming to Memacharif Klal Yisrael. Whoever is able to defeat him, Yashrenu HaMelech Oysher Godol, V'yazbita Yitem Loi. And he's not only going to give him a lot of Ashiris, he's going to give him his daughter, and we're referring to Meirav. Anyway, David HaMelech was able to go and meet this challenge. Ozal Katle, David HaMelech got up, and he killed Goliath. It's Omoloi, so now David HaMelech wants to go and marry Meirav. Apparently he didn't have any money on him and he didn't have a ring. And he says to the king, you know what? I moichel you the entire Ashiris, and that will be the kes of Kiddushin that I'm giving for purposes of marrying Meirav. That $1 million that you were going to give me, keep it, and I'm going to go and marry Meirav with that million. And the Mefarshim explained that Meirav at this time was only a katana or a na'ara, and therefore the money that would come into the Kedushin would go to the father, and therefore he's saying to Shaul, his potential shver, don't give the money to me. Keep the money, and that will be the kes of Kedushin that I'm marrying Meirav. Says the Gemara, Amaloi, milva islach gaboy. You're not giving me money now. You're just going and being moichel the choiv that I owe you. That being the case, you've just been Mekadosh B'milva, meaning the loan, so to speak, that I owe you, that you're not giving real consideration, no Kiddushin. What did Shaul HaMelech do? Immediately didn't give David a second chance to go and bring in a ring. Instead he went and took Meirav, instead of giving her to David HaMelech, he went and gave her to Adriel. When the time came that Meirav Bashol should have gone to David, what did Shaul do? Instead, he diverted her. Again, if you have number 4 at Dalit, and Shaul instead stabbed David HaMelech in the back and took his daughter and gave her to Adriel.
Not literally, and
gave her to Adriel. Now, David HaMelech, of course, was quite upset, and he wanted to go, if I can't marry Meirav, then I want to go marry Michal. What do we see until now? That was the basis of what Rav Shua ben Korcha says, Kiddusha Toi Soyu. Not that it was Kiddusha Toi. It means to say is that that marriage that David HaMelech was supposed to have with Meirav never occurred because of this Mekadosh move, Enim Mekudeshes. Therefore, since it didn't occur, he was entitled to go and marry Michal after all. So he didn't marry both of them, only Michal. So that's the second teretz to the Kasha. How can he marry two sisters? I didn't. He only married one sister, Michal. Amalei. Ibois, and now Shaul HaMelech sees that David is wounded. In other words, he's upset about what happened. Ibois said, Michal, I have another daughter. If you want me to give Michal, Zil Aisili Meyar Olis Plishin. That was the pasuk that we quoted before. In other words, kill 100 Plishin, bring their Orlois, their foreskins. That will be the Kesef Kedushin, so to speak. And then you'll be able to go and marry. So David HaMelech was not fazed in him for a moment, and he brought 100 Olis Plishin. And he said to Shaul HaMelech, remember that money that you owe me, I'm moichel the money, and I'm giving you also these 100 arlois. And the Gemara says, Amalei milva upruta istecha gaboi. Says now Shaul HaMelech to David, what you've given me is, you've been moichel the milva, the loan, and you've given me the pruta, because how much is an orla worth? 100 arlois are worth together a pruta. And we have a machloikis, when a person is mekalish me milva pruta, what is the ikar smichas das? Is it on the milva? On the pruta. Shol sa milva pruta daite a milva. And therefore, since the das on the milva, a mekadosh milva ainu mekudeshes. She is not married to David. The David sa milva pruta daite a pruta, which is the way that we paskin, because even if the milva is worthless in terms of kesef kedushin, but he's giving her consideration, he's giving pruta. But Shaul HaMelech disagreed. And therefore, what did David HaMelech, what did Shaul HaMelech do? As we'll see in a moment, he diverted Michal to Palti. Or another pshat. Everybody agrees with that. But he thought the 100 orlois are worthless. What are you going to do with 100 foreskins? You throw them in the garbage. It's just going to stink after a while. It's good as vet. No, you could use that as animal fodder. Not for all animals, but at least for the club and for the dogs and shunri and for the cats. They will be happy to go and eat up all of these 100 orlois. And therefore you've saved yourself at least a pruta that you don't have to buy cat food or dog food for a day or two. Okay, so that was the machlekes. So what do I see from this? That was the machlekes between Shaul and David as to whether or not the marriage with Michal was effective or not. This is all Rabbi Shua ben Korcha talking, and now Rabbi Shua ben Korcha stops for a moment, and he has explained himself. What was the kasha in the Gemara? This is the same that Ariel asked. They asked Rabbi Yossi, how could David HaMelech both marry two sisters? So the first tzaddik Rabbi Yossi was, it was Siriadam. In other words, after Meirav passed away, then he married Michal. So that's no problem. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha says he would never marry to Meirav in the first place because of this disagreement, because of the Mekadosh Remilva Enim Mekudeshes. And he goes one step further, that he wasn't married to Michal either. Why not? Because he tried to be Mekadosher with Milven Pruta, and Shaul HaMelech says, Milva Pruta, Daite a Milva, or it's not even worth a Pruta, and therefore you're not even married to Michal, and that's why Shaul gave Michal to someone else. That's all Rabbi Shimon Korcha, Rabbi Yossi, Haitanois, Ishti, as Michal, my Dorish Bey. We started off, what was Rabbi Shimon Korcha? He says, as Ishti, as Michal, is the Chassim, and that Michal is the wife, and not Meirav, right? That's what Mar said, Michal Ishti, and Meirav Ishti. So what does Rabbi Yossi do with that drasha, my Dorish Bey? Rabbi Yossi would go and darshan psukim that seemed to be a little mixed. What is that mixed? We'll see. Ksiv, shem pasik. V'ikach ha-melech ha-shem, shnei b'nei ritzpa bas aya, ashiyoldu l'sha'ul, that the melech took these two sons of ritzpa bas aya. Who are they? Es admoini, v'yes mefi boishes. And he took Veschameshes b'nei Michal, ashiyoldu li'adriel ha-mecholasi. And the five children of Michal that gave birth to Adriel. Now let me ask you a question. If you were listening carefully.
Meirav.
Yeah. Freiti Gemara. Can I, every single word of the Gemara, you're on top of it. Ariel, if you could stay every day until the end of the shir, we would be so enriched. Zakti Gemara. V'goyim levchia la'adriel nitna, v'alapalti ben la'ish nitna. Didn't we say before that Michal was given to Palti ben Laish, and Meirav was given to Adriel? And you're mixing up the oitzis over here. What's going on? Tichsev Shol Nosan Es Michal Bitoi Eishes David. It was Eishes David. She was really married to David because David gave the Milve Uprut and Daite Uprut. And he went and took her and transferred her to Palti ben Laish. So, and you're telling me now that Michal was married to Adriel? That doesn't make sense. Elamakish kedushim made of the Adriel lekedushim Michal lepalti. The pasuk is coming to tell you, makedushim Michal lepalti baveira. Just like that, that Shaul handed over Michal to Palti, that was a kedushim baveira. Palti should not have married her, and Michal should not have married him, because she was an Ashes Ish married to David HaMelech. Afkidushim made of Adriel with Baveira. Ulta Naveira, he shouldn't, the Adriel should not have married Merav in the first place.
So she was, Michal was so strapped that she ended up putting on tefillin.
Okay. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Nami Haksiv Eschamesh b'nei Michal Bas Shol. What does Rabbi Shua ben Karcha do about this, that it says that Michal married Adriel? Amalach Rabbi Shua, v'chim Michal Yolda. Vali Merav Yolda. Everybody knows that these were five children of Merav, not of Michal. Merav Yolda uMichal Gidla Leficha Nikru Al Shema LeMedcha Shekol Megadla Yosef B'Teir Beisei Malo V'Kosef Kili Yolda. The pasuk is telling us a very nice Musa Haskel, something in nice moral from which we can learn, and that is that anybody that takes a Yosef into his or her home and is Megadla and raises them, then the Torah gives them credit as if he or she gave birth to them, because by giving that TLC, the tender loving care to a Yosef, so we're malo v'kosev, we give them that tzchar as if that person actually gave birth. Ah, so what our Gemara is telling us is that Merav Takav was the physical mother that gave birth to these five, to Adriel. But she, for some reason, did not go and train them and educate them. It could be, like we said before, because she died, and now Michal came on the scene, and Michal says, I'm going to be the mommy for these five kids. And therefore, that's why the pasuk attributes the mothership to Michal, even though it was Merav, because she was Megadol these five children for Adriel.
But how do we fix that? Because from this, Michal was Paltia, Palti.
We're going to talk about the Palti, Palti and Laish in another moment. Once again, can I hear you're always on top of
it. So these children were illegitimate?
If you hold that she was not married to David HaMelech, then they were Mamzer. If you hold that she was not married,
and then so he took these five and educated them? And
not he. She. Michal went and educated these five children on behalf of her sister that didn't do it, either because she passed away or she was busy doing other things, and on behalf of Adriel, who was their father.
Isn't that disrespectful that the king is like in a household with Mamzerim or whatever? Is associated.
We're not talking about David HaMelech now, we're talking about Shaul going and handing these over. Anyway, I know that you attend, I think, sometimes Rabbi Steinberg's shir. He gives a full shir on Tanakh. He would be the right person to ask about all of these nuances.
Uh-huh.
I'm only trying to address them as we need them for purposes of our Gemara.
Right.
Great. And we continue on. Chanina, Kara, Yoichanan, V'ishtoi, Elozer, Ugu'ula, Ushmul, Belimudi, Simon. This is a simonim, of course, of the next few Gemaras. Zokdimar, Rabbi Chanina, Oimer, Mehocha. This last word that we just had, the Gemara is going to give other mekoyros for the same thing. I know this from another pasuk. Naomi, as you know, married as a result of living. Not Naomi. Ruth went to marry Boaz, and they had a child. What was the name of the child? Oivad. And what happened now with this child? The pasuk is saying that all the shchentes, all of the yemtes, all of the neighbors that live nearby said, "Ah, mazel tov, Naomi had a child." Frank Tamar b'china Naomi yolda. Naomi had a child. By the Rus yolda. Rus had that child. And the Rus yolda and Naomi gidla. For some reason, Rus was not megadol, but Naomi was. Dechanikra al shema. Ah, so you see, whoever's megadol, somebody else's child, kili yolda. And similarly, b'china mihacha. The Ishtar HaYehudis Yolda as Yered Avigdar. Eile b'nei Bisya Baspare Ashalokach Merit. We normally throughout the world everybody says Basya, but the Pasuk refers to as Bisya. This is the famous Bisya right. Baspare. Sorry?
Bisya was her name.
But her name. Her name was really Bisya. Anyway, it was Bisya Baspare. Everybody knows that when Yecheved put Moshe Rabbeinu into the basket, after 3 months, what happened then? Then Bisya Baspare, look, there must be a Jewish child. Bisya Baspare says, I'm going to go and try to find a Menekes and save Moshe Rabbeinu when he was out there in the water. Anyway, so what did it say over here? Bisya Baspare eventually married Kalev ben Yefuneh. And we're going to attribute Moshe as if he is the son of Bisya together with Kalev, as you'll see. Zokti Pasik, Ashalokach Merid. Merid was the one that married Bisya. Praiti Mara, who is this Merid? Merid Zek Kalev. Merid, how to get such a funny name like Merid? Shemorad Batas Meraglim. He was, as you know, Kalev ben Yefuna, together with Yeshua, did a merida against the other Meraglim. They rebelled. That's how we got the interesting name of Merid. So what does the Pasuk say over here? Going back to the Pasuk, V'ishtaya Yehudis, Yolda es Yered, and Avigdor, and the Pasuk says also Yekusiel, and Rashi says that all of these names are synonyms, and they're all referring to one person, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu was known as Yered, he was known as Avigdor, he was known as Yekusiel, and there are other Gemaras.
Tuvia.
I'm sorry?
Tuvia.
I know it doesn't say in this Pasuk, it says Tuvia. Tinzain. Oh. If you look here in Pasuk number 8, V'ishta Yehudis HaYehudiyah, Yoldas Yered Avigdor, V'eschever Avi Soichai, V'esikusiel Avi Zanoyach, Eile B'nei Bisya, but it doesn't mention the Tovia.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be
but
upset.
He was good anyway.
100%, he was good anyway. Anyway, all of those, Rashi says, those are all names for Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you look at Yored Avigdor, Rashi is halfway down the Omud, Yored Avigdor, Kulan Shemoish Shemoish. These are all names of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Frank Timur, Bisya was the one that gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yocheved gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Chi Bisya Yoldu al Yocheved Yoldu. Yocheved Yoldu Bisya Gidlu Leficha Nikra al Shema. Reblozo Miyoch, I have another right. It says, Go'alta Bizrei Amecha B'nei Yaakov the Yosef Sela. Klal Yisrael are the children of Yaakov and Yosef. Frank Timur, Chi Yosef Yulad. Did Yosef give birth to Klal Yisrael? Al Yaakov Yol. I understand if it says, B'nei Yaakov, that makes sense. B'nei Yaakov Yosef, El Yaakov Yolad, the Yosef Kilkel, like we saw in yesterday's parsha, when they all came down to Mitzrayim, Yosef was the one that was the Mashbir and the Mechalki, he was the one that supported the whole family. Therefore, he gets credit as if he happens to be the father.
But Yaakov said, these are going to be mine. Any other kids you have will be yours.
Ah, okay. Omer Shulva Nachmani, Omer
Yerkeson. Caleb married Bisya.
Caleb, yeah, Caleb married Bisya. That's
correct.
According to our Gemara.
That's an interesting fact.
Okay. It's another Gemara that Caleb married Miriam. Okay, but this is Nish.
Yeah. So
maybe he married both of them. But he married.
They're not sisters.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they're not Jewish. She's not.
Obviously, he made sure that she underwent conversion before he agreed to.
It was before Mount Torah.
Yeah, it was before the revelation on Sinai.
Okay, it was in
there. Right, it's very hard because they kept some mitzvahs, some they didn't. Yeah, like, how do we know
this
which...
This is good for Jewish Jeopardy.
Rabbi, I have good news for you. We started off the pasuk, V'ishtoi ha-Yehudis, really, V'ishtoi ha-Yehudiyo, and this is referring to Bisya. How did you get a name like Ishtoi ha-Yehudiyo, ha-Yehudis? Now, let's look in the Rashi, halfway down the Omid, V'ishtoi ha-Yehudiyo, right? It's a parallel to where the Gemara lines get wider. See, V'ishtoi ha-Yehudiyo, you have that in the middle of the Omid?
Yeah.
Why was she called Yehudi or Yehudis? Al Shem Shekofra Bavoydezara. And what's the next word?
Gaira.
Vinis Gaira.
How about that?
How do you like that? Isn't that what you said, Ariel, already a minute ago?
Yeah, she underwent conversion.
This is already a sixth good point that you made today.
That's illogical. I mean, a Caleb would never agree to marry a Shiksa.
You made 6 points.
Even though she's a daughter of the king, which might be compelling.
You gave 6 good points. You hit every point in the mug and
oven. Beautiful, beautiful. And we continue on.
She had a lot of reach also, we know that. She had a
like the law, the long arm of the law.
Second wide line down below of the Gemara. Umr Shuman Achmini Rabbi Yonison. Kalam Lamed Ben Chaveri Torah. Whoever teaches his Chaveri Torah. Malo V'kosan Kili Yoldai. Rashi brings this in Chomish and Amitz. The Potsvi Yelah told us Aharon and Moshe. Huxiv, after it says these are the generation of Aharon and Moshe, the Potsvi only lists the children of Aharon. It doesn't list the children of Moshe. Well, it's Moshe Ben Aharon. So what is this Aharon and Moshe? Loi Malach. Aharon Yolad or Moshe Limed. V'chav Nikru Al Shemai. Which means, Kol HaMalamed is Ben Chaveri Torah. Kili Yoldai. The Pasuk says, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Beis Yaakov, that Yaakov is Poda Avram. He redeemed him. How did Yaakov redeem Avram? Because Avram Avinu was supposed to have all the children. For instance, all the Shiftei Ka should have come from Avram. And Yaakov says, don't worry, I'll take over. I'll take care of the kids. Vayin d'chsiv, le'ata yevesh Yaakov, le'ata yevesh Yaakov mi'oviv, le'ata ponav yachvri mi'avi oviv, that he's not embarrassed from his father Yitzchak, and he's not embarrassed, he's not going to turn white from his grandfather, from Avram Avinu, because he can go and say with confidence, Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me your 12 children, the Shiftei Kah, and I, not only did I adopt them, I gave birth to them, and I was Megadol them, I was Mechanech them, that in that sense, he was Poyde Avram.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Palti for a moment. We said that Palti ben Laish was handed over to Michal, by Shaul, when she was really an Ashes ish to David HaMelech, because David HaMelech was Mekadesher, then Milva Ube Pruta, we paskin that Milva Pruta is Chal, and even though Shaul's, these are not worth a Pruta, they were worth a Pruta because you can feed the foreskins to the dogs and the cats and dogs. So Zokti Yimara, Palti was a Groise Erlechid. He knew that she is a married lady to David HaMelech. However, he didn't want to go against Shaul, because he'd be a moired b'malchus. So what do you do? Ksiv palti, uksiv paltiel. One pasuk refers to him as palti b'laish, other pasuk refers to him as paltiel. What was his real name? Amr Yochanan palti shema, the real name was palti. The word palat over here means to save. Hashem saved him from an aveira. How did he save him? Kodesh Baruch Hu went and invigorated palti, the palti should be able to withstand the Yetzer Hara. Ma'asa, Palti went and not Cherub Beinoy Lebeina. Although they were in the same bed, as the Gemara says shortly, nevertheless, he put a Cherub, a sword, between him and her, and Omar. And Palti said to Michal, Kolo Oisik Bedover Zeh, whoever Chas HaSholem is going to try to entice the other one to Tashmish, that we should live together, Yedakim Cherub Zeh, his or her fate will be this Cherub. Frank the Gemara, you're telling me that he never lived with her. It says in the pasuk, "Vayelach ita isha," that when Michal was walking, she walked together with her husband, which is referring to Palti. So Timur shenas aloki isha. Even though they never lived together, nevertheless he was mechabed her and megadol her as if it was his wife. In other words, they didn't let the whole world know. There were not all the yentas on the internet had to know that there was this cherub beinu lebeina. He acted as if it happens to be his cherished wife. Oh, this is my wife, Micha. But between the two, they knew they never had Tashmish. Frankly, Vaksim doesn't say in the pasuk that eventually she, Michal, was extracted from Palti and given now to David HaMelech. It says in the pasuk, Holach u'bocha, that he was crying, Palti, that he's losing his wife. It was never his wife. Why is he crying? He should be happy. He doesn't have this nisayin anymore. The reason why is Holach u'bocha, Ala mitzvah de ozel minei. Until now he had this kevaldige mitzvah, meaning that he was kivish yetzara on a daily basis. Can you imagine?
Wow.
And therefore he was upset that he no longer had this opportunity to do this mitzvah. Now the pasuk continues, that halachu bacha, and it says, ad bachurim, until bachurim. Pasha pshat means the name of a place, bachurim. It says, yimon shenas v'shneim ki bachurim shlei toam utam bia. That even though they were together for years and years, in the same house, in the same bedroom, in the same bed, but they were like bachurim, that they had never lived together. Amr b'yoychanan, toikvishol Yosef anavisunosay shel boyaz, toikvishol boyaz anavisunosay shel palti ben laish. Toikvim means the strength of Yosef was like an anivas, meaning like something that was easy for boyaz. Toikvishol boyaz, that was difficult for boyaz, was like something that was easy for palti ben laish. What does that mean? Toikvishol Yosef anavisunosay shel boyaz dechsif. We all know the story about Yosef and the Eishes by Tifar, and it says that he was able to go and strengthen himself. He saw the Mustyuknei Shel Aviv, and he ran out, and he left his beged behind, like it says in the Chumash. We're all familiar with that. So, we refer to Yosef at Tzadik, that he was able to be Koivish at Yetzirah, that he did not live with the Eishes by Tifar. Mm-hmm. Guess what? By this is a Kleinigkeit, it's a small thing compared to Boaz, Tachzib, Vehi B'chatzia Laila, that he, Boaz, was sleeping, and all of a sudden, he feels someone coming under his covers, and who was that? None other than Rus. V'yechar ish, he got full of charada, full of fear and trepidation. Oy, what's going on? Vayilofes. What means my vayilofes? Says, Yomar Amarav shenasa besorei kirosh lefoseis. A lefes is a turnip, which you know is very very hard, and because there was this strange lady coming into his bed, so he had momentarily, his aver became very, very hard. In other words, he had hirurim about living with this lady. But nevertheless, he was able to go and be mamin himself, and he did not live with her. So why is this considered to be even holier, so to speak, or better than Yosef's case? So look at the last Rashi. Shinasa besore aver, that's the aver down below, kirasha lefasois, that what niskasha became hard like a lefes, the avu became kabashitzrei, the avu pishepenuya hoisa, after all she was not even married, the imamimita, and she was in the same bed. That's a major accomplishment to hold yourself back. Avu Yosef, number one, ashes ish hoisa, she was an ashes ish, so he knew that he had to go and put a mechitza between the two of them. They need my mamita, they weren't in the same mita together. On a daily basis, he saw her and she tried to entice him. But he always refused. No, no, no. That day that she said that she's sick, she grabbed hold of him, but it's not as if that they were living under the same mita. Mm-hmm. And here, however, they were the same mita together. And nevertheless, Boaz was able to go and control himself.
He didn't meet her before.
Good. Continuing on. What's the kidamaran? That here, it was not only that she was a penuya, she was the alleged wife. And Rashi says, they were in the same bed together, shonim rabois. In the case of Boaz, it was chod alayla. This is right. One time it happened. We can see alayla. Here we're talking about palti, says Rashi, shonim rabois. For 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, Christ is shvifel. They were together in the same bed because he was noatz, cher beinoilu beino. They never lived together. Omer b'yechad, ma'idach siv, said the apostle, we just finished until the Mishnah because it's all the same inyan. Ma'idach siv, rabbi's bonus osichoyu va'at olis al kulon. Rabbi's bonus osichoyu ze'yoya yoisef u Boaz. Who did mamish a maisa, a tremendous act of strength and courage to be able to meet the challenge and defeat the Yetzirah. The at all the salkulon is a palti b'layish was still greater than the two of them for the reasons just discussed. Amr Shmuel ben Nachman, Amr Bionis, and usually said ben Nachmani, Amr Bionis and Mike said in the pasuk Sheker Achen Bevel Yoifi, Sheker Achen Ze Yosef Hevel Yoifi Ze Boyas. What they did was tremendous. However, what's the year of Hashem Yitzhal is a palti b'layish was even greater than both Yosef and Boaz in this respect. Even though there was tremendous Torah learning, tremendous Torah knowledge in Moshe Rabbeinu's time and Yeshua's time, the years of Shemi Tesal is the Torah Shel Cheskia, because Cheskia Melech was Machzer a Torah LeYoshna. As we know, Cheskia's father was, I believe, Achaz, who was a very, very bad king, and unfortunately caused everybody to sin. Cheskia did a major wave of tshuva, and not only tshuva in terms of mitzvahs, but in terms of Esek HaTorah, and therefore it says that in all the Bat Midrashim in Klal Yisrael, you had the lights were still on from Don Ve'ad Be'er Sheva, and in that entire, from Don Ve'ad Be'er Sheva.
The kids were Baki, Betiris.
Exactly. They couldn't find one Amoritz among them, even the children were Baki in Tuma and Tar. So therefore, Dereshul Chizke is Oyla Al Kulana, and that's Yiris Hashem Yitzhal, even great. Dover Achet, Vachapshat, Sheker Chayim, Dereshul Moshe, Yeshua, Hevel Yev, Dereshul Chizke, Yerushem Yitzhal, Dereshul Yer Behuda, Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Loi, Stam, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah, am I right? Stam, Rabbi Yehuda, says Barry, is Rabbi Rabbi Loi. Omu Olav Al Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. What was so special? Shisha Talmidim Miskasim Betalis Achas Vaiskim Betoyer. There was such poverty that six Talmidim would share one blanket. If it was cold and freezing, they didn't each say, okay, I'm putting my sweater, I'm putting my coat. All six of them would have to clothe themselves in that same large talis to give them some warmth. And nevertheless, he said, but we're going to learn Torah. So they learned Torah under tremendous Mesiris Nefesh, under tremendous tchak. This is considered to be atolus al kulana, greater than all of the other things that we said.
Wow. Wow.
It's said by Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal that, you know, there was a big difference in age between Rav David Zatzal and Rav Reuven Zatzal Gesund. And they say that one of the major reasons for the great difference in age was that Rav Moshe was in Lubin, where he was the Ruv back in Europe. There was a mikveh there, which he held b'dieved could be used, and therefore he was matur this. You remember this was talking about already under the communists, and you were not allowed to do anything religious. So there was one hidden pool, one hidden mikveh, and Moshe was matur it for everybody else, but he himself held that it was not sufficiently kosher lechatchila, it wasn't mahadrin, and so therefore he did not live with his wife for years and years, even though of course it was his wife, because she couldn't go to the mikvah.
So there's